Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. The term food desert can be used to describe an area without easy access to grocery stores or fresh food. But this summer, Sarasota County Libraries and the Sarasota Housing Authority are launching the Book Rich Environment Campaign to address what can be called book deserts. It's an effort to bring books into homes, to spur kids to read, and to help families engage with their local library. The effort aims to distribute as many as 2,500 free books this summer to kids living in public housing in Sarasota County, many living in households that fall well below the poverty line. Here to tell us more about the program is Sarasota County Libraries and Historical Resources Director Sarah Beth Kalasian. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you.
And did you know that millennials are more likely to use libraries than any other generation? That's according to new data from the Pew Research Center. Here to join our library conversation and tell us how they're keeping libraries relevant and meeting the needs of their patrons in the age of the internet, we have Barb Swenson, the principal librarian at South County Regional Library in Estero. Thanks for joining the show.
Happy to be here.
And Tanya Williams, the division director of the Collier County Public Library. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. Welcome.
How often do you use your library? Is it meeting your needs today, or is there something more you'd like to see at your local branch? Reach out online. We're on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Call in and sound off with your librarian guests at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. First, Sarah Beth Kalasian with Sarasota Libraries. Let's start with a new program that your county's working on to bring books into homes that may not have them. Tell me about the Book Rich Environment Initiative.
Well, you described the converse of what we're trying to create, which is book deserts. And we know that in so many homes, there are very few reading materials and maybe not very much modeling going on about learning and reading. So this is really to create a book-rich environment in which kids have access to books that are being read to them. They have access to books that they are reading. They also have access to libraries and all of the wealth of the resources that they would find in a library. And beyond that, I always like to say they have encouraging, supportive individuals who are guiding their reading selections and just providing that, as you said, spurring them on so that if they've finished one book, there's someone right there ready to say, if you like that book, then we have many, many more that you'll enjoy.
So is it kind of a mentoring program where you're going into these neighborhoods and handing a book to a kid and saying, hey, check this one out, and the next time you see him, if you like that one out, try this one?
Absolutely. So our local effort here in Sarasota County starts with where those kids are living in the housing authority. And that's really what's happening all over the country with this initiative. We go where they are first and try and make that connection. And communities are interpreting that in lots of different ways. This week we are going to partner with the police department in our community, and there will be an ice cream truck and police officers and librarians who will be going door to door to invite kids to enjoy a cool ice cream treat and pick out books. And then, of course, for us, those of us who work in libraries, we know, as we know, just absolutely to our core, that if families come to the public library and have that relationship with those supportive employees who work there, and they come regularly, that they're going to have that access. They're going to have access to all those materials, all that learning, and there are going to be all kinds of programs that just keep inspiring them to be engaged in that learning process.
Yeah, I think the ice cream truck is a great idea. If anything can sell anybody on reading, it's going to be a nice ice cream in Florida. So, Barb Swenson with the South County Regional Library, you have a program that approaches new readers from a different angle. Tell me a little bit about Book Buddies.
Book Buddies is a new initiative with the Lee County Library System. We did a pilot program, and we're full speed ahead currently. We have identified teens who have a desire to work in the library as a volunteer. And to give them meaningful work, we've trained them to work with our emergent or early readers one-on-one.
Sort of like a big brother, big sister mentor program?
Exactly. Big buddy, little buddy.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
The big buddy is our teen volunteer. The little buddy is that person, that new emergent reader or early reader who might love reading but wants extra practice, might be interested in working one-on-one with the teen because they look up to them, they adore them. And another side of it could be a family that English is a second language at home, so the parents are struggling with the language, with English as a language, and so they can't always provide the help that that child may need. They need to hear the language, know the language. So these teens are trained to work one-on-one, and we do appointments. And for the month of June, we had 56 reading buddy sessions.
Oh, well, that's great. And then I wanted to ask Tanya Williams with Collier County Public Library. It's kind of a broad question, but in the era of e-books and downloadable music and movies, how do you keep libraries relevant to users?
Actually, the Collier County Public Library System just finalized a community-wide assessment, and we asked those very same questions. How do we maintain our relevancy in a changing dynamic world? And fascinating to find out, part of the recommendations that came back is patrons want to see their libraries as a technology hub. You know, they feel comfortable coming into libraries to try out and see the latest technology. And so we're going to be looking down those avenues. Makerspaces, that's a term that librarians are very familiar with.
Makerspace?
Makerspaces. Librarians know what they are. Public may not, but in libraries across the nation, you may have an area designated for access to technology. It could be iPads, it could be tablets, it could be MP3 players, but it also could be sewing machines or kitchen equipment.
3D printers.
3D printers is a big thing that we...
3D printers still blow my mind.
Yeah.
So you're introducing those in the libraries?
We're introducing those in the libraries.
Are they there now?
Currently, they're not there now. We do have the iPads and the tablets and those types of technologies. We work with SWFLN, our Southwest Florida Library Network, our consortium, local consortium, and we borrow their 3D printers and periodically have programs. We bring the 3D printers into the libraries, have programs so that adults, children of all ages can come in and actually design something and print it off on the 3D printer.
I want to ask everyone here, who do you see coming into the libraries these days? The Pew Research says that millennials are really using libraries. Are you seeing a lot of that?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Millennials will come in, especially your families, your young families.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see those for the early literacy programs and
yeah,
story
looking
time.
For support, story yeah. hours, and
but then you're also going to see the millennials with a heavy use of online. They're our ebook users. They're the technology users.
And also, as a parent of a child, you can go broke buying all the books that kids want to read. So the libraries...
That's what the library's for.
The wonderful resource for all that, the books that are, you know, kind of short, just a few words, and check them out and bring them back in. You see a lot of young families, like you mentioned. You see that also in Estero?
Yes, in Lee County, each card holder is entitled to have 50 items out at one moment. So you see families maxing out library cards because those young children, parents know the importance of reading they bring a baby home from the hospital. They need to hear language. So they check out books heavily, heavily. They mm-hmm. make use of the collection. It's really nice to see.
Yeah. Sarah Beth Kalasian with the Sarasota Libraries. I want to return to the Book Rich Environments Initiative. In addition to getting books into these homes, you're also trying to get these families to engage and come into the local libraries. How are you getting them into the library?
Well, that's a pretty broad approach. Sarasota County is a participant in the National Campaign for Grade Level Reading. And so it's really an incredible coalition, a big network of community organizations that all focus on getting kids to first read to learn or learn to read, and then after they've learned to read, they are ready to read to learn. So we have focused on activities that involve the whole family. That's one of the real surefire ways to get folks involved. And sometimes that even involves a meal. and activities for the different members of the family, which may not all be the same. They may be together for part of the evening or the afternoon and then have separate activities. A lot of hands-on activities, because one of the things that we think crosses all age groups is that people want to be actively engaged, and that is, I think, maybe a change in our library environment to some extent, that you're actually coming there to actively engage in learning. When they talked about the makerspaces, well, when you see people rolling up their sleeves and learning how to sew or using the 3D printer or coding or engaged in robotics, that learning is much more effective when they're actually doing it rather than passive.
Or reading about it or just, you know,
right.
Kind of flipping through their iPhone or something like that. We are talking about libraries and the ways that they're reaching out to engage the community in our digital era. Give us a call with your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. I have to admit, the last time that I spent a lot of time in the library was doing research, and I'm looking at microfiche and looking up old smelly books, you know, that have been around for a long time. How are things different today? For example, you talk about e-books and e-readers, things like that. Barb Swenson, let me ask you.
Okay.
Do you have a lot of electronics where people can you check out e-books?
Absolutely check out e-books. We've got many services where you can check those e-books out. We have an OverDrive app you can put onto your device. We have a Hoopla app. Now, OverDrive is e-books, audiobooks, and movies. Hoopla has streaming movies and books, audiobooks. We've got Tumble Books for the little ones. And then we've got an EBSCO Books service, which is more academic titles.
So these are apps that you download onto your phone?
Yeah, or your tablet.
Uh-huh.
I have a hard time reading an electronic book on my phone, so I do audio downloads and exercise listening to those. But, yeah, they're available. It's our actually largest collection in the system, over 500,000 titles. So you're going to be able to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And these services are all a little different. And if you are customers out there, if you are unsure of how to get it onto your device, we have technology guides at the library who work one-on-one appointments with you to help you understand the service.
It's a far cry from the Dewey Decimal System.
Yes. And then all of these e-books are different from our other online reference e-sources. So if you are a business person in town and you need to make mail lists and know what kind of businesses are your competition, we've got databases that can help you with your business. Mm-hmm. And over 100 databases. We've got, you know, New York Times back to the 1800s.
I love those.
Yeah.
And Tanya Williams with Collier County Public Library, that same Pew research that we talked about earlier, it says that print books still remain at the top of a reader's list in recent years. 65% of readers favor print, mm-hmm. compared to 28% favoring e-books. So print is not necessarily dead so far. What are you seeing at your library?
Print's not going anywhere. And it's really dependent upon, Barb may agree with me on this, yeah. It's really dependent upon the environment in which the reader is using either the device or the book.
And what they prefer.
Yeah. We do have patrons that are still very adamant about having that tactile book in their mm-hmm. hand and smelling the paper. But then we also have patrons that, they only want it on an e-book. They want it on an e-reader. And then, you know, those of us that commute back and forth, it's audio. You know, they want it on audio. So, and we live, let's face it, we live in a beach area. You don't want to take your tablet to the beach or by the pool.
And so, a lot of us, I know, spend so much – we have so much screen time all day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
work,
a break
yeah.
for the eyes to hold a book. It's like a good friend.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, research is now catching up with the technology, and I'm reading more and more where science is telling us that students retain more information when they have a book in their hand over an electronic resource.
Yeah, I think that that might be true because, you know, when you look at electronics, you think about skimming through all the, you know, scrolling through. I don't remember what it's called. Anyway, I feel like I'm talking about microfiche in the Dewey Decimal System. I forgot what you call Facebook. but yeah, I understand what you're saying. But do you have the same kind of technology available, though, as we were talking about Nestero. I mean, is this something that's common to all libraries that they have these downloadable apps?
It's common to all libraries depending upon their budget. Collier County does have Overdrive. We've also supplemented that with Cloud Library.
Yes,
we've just added Hoopla as well. We've got Zenio for online magazine access. So that's commonplace in just about any public library that you
walk
into.
They're all going to have those services, but a lot of the community members don't know. They purchase their e-books.
I know.
And so
I'm wondering if I can get a refund. And when you download an e-book from the library, do you have it on your tablet or whatever forever, or do you have to return it, sort of?
You have to return it.
It's got a certain amount of time.
Our kind customers, if they finish their book quickly, because sometimes in these services you do have to go on a wait list like a print book.
Okay.
So if you return it early, that means the person waiting is going to get it a little sooner. But let's say you don't. The files will just disappear. So you usually get an Overdrive book for 2 weeks and a Hoopla book for three.
Okay. So it just goes away. And you can manually return it yourself.
You can.
Like a good library patron.
Yes, you can. And no late fees.
Oh, that's great. And then also you don't have to chase anybody down for a hardcover book.
Correct.
You just take it off their tablet.
And if you go through Project Gutenberg, then yes, you download the book and it is forever on your tablet.
And Project Gutenberg is a different
Project
app.
Project Gutenberg,
It's online.
It's online. Mm-hmm. You can actually access it online.
Yeah, anybody can get it.
Anybody can get it, and you can download a copy of Dracula, and it's on your device as long as you want it.
Yeah, those titles are in the public domain.
Mm-hmm. So if I live in Estero, and do I have to go into the Estero library to rent the book? Not really rent.
No, you need to come to the library to get a card because all of these services you need to have a valid library card number. And our customers, we ask them to come in at least every 2 years, and we verify that you still live in the county. And then we renew you for another 2 years. And really, if you like the online books, you don't have to come to the library. We hope to see you. We like to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to interact with people.
Yeah, well, we are a gathering place for all, like you know, we were talking about
thinking,
the programs we offer.
I'm thinking of all the action in the makerspace.
That's right. And also all of the educational and entertaining programs that we offer weekly.
Yeah. And also the tutorials that you were mentioning also for business people and accounting services and things like this. And Sarah Beth Kalasian with Sarasota Libraries, I'm assuming this is all also available in Sarasota libraries too, correct?
It's very similar. And I think the takeaway from this is that a few years ago, I think people were asking us, well, isn't the digital content a threat to library services? And we've so incredibly embraced it. And the good news is that people of all ages are choosing whichever way, and so many people choose both ways. Perhaps if they're traveling, they want to load up their tablet with some great reads and take it easily and conveniently. And as they mentioned, you don't have to go into the library if you want to borrow things from home. So we have really virtual library branches in every library system now, where you just go onto the website, and from there it's a springboard to all these services. So I'm so encouraged to hear the research from Pew and the Gates Foundation and so many organizations that are indicating that people are reading, and reading in all different kinds of ways.
I know, and I just can't believe how much I have spent on e-books. I am so irritated with myself. Well, at least we've hopefully inspired a few people to get out to their local public library and knowing now what is available out there. So we're going to have to leave it there because we've run out of time. But I want to thank our guests, Sarah Beth Kalasian with Sarasota Libraries, Barb Swenson with South County Regional Library, and Tanya Williams with Collier County Public Library. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
You.
Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin-Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.
She said, well, get your love growing. Before we get going, there's some books I'd like you to read.
I like to go out dancing. My baby loves a bunch of authors. Lately, we've had some friction.
My baby's hooked on short works of fiction.
So we split and went to a party. Some friends my girl said she knew.
But what a sight, cause it's author's night and the place looks like a who's who.
Now I'm pounding the Uzo.
Get Mario Buzo.
Who's a funny fella?
W.P. Kinsella.
Who brought the cat?
Would Margaret Atwood.
Who needs a grave?
He's from today.
On that she started a food fight.
Seven who's all over the scene.
Spill some dressing on Doris Lessing.
These red eyed sights are a scream.
I like to go out dancing. My baby loves a bunch of authors. We'll be together for ages.
Eating and sleeping in.
Eating and sleeping in.
One, sleeping one, two.
Turning pages.
Yeah!